Okay, so I am Chair Elaine Genaway, calling to order the September 10th, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. Our meeting will begin today with inspiration by Phil Orland, and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Tony Rodella. And if everyone aside from Tony and Phil could please mute. Has Phil joined us yet? Okay.
No, I don't see that he has.
Okay. So in his
schedule, I'll be happy to do it, Elaine. Okay. Dave Sullivan.
Okay, Dave, go ahead. Okay. I printed up some quotes, but I'd love to hear from you. So Dave, please lead us in inspiration.
We are one day away from the 20th sad anniversary of the attack on the United States. And I would like to, as a veteran, express gratitude to all the veterans and condolences to the families of all the veterans who died in this process of protecting our country, including your 13 just a few days ago. And unfortunately, it is a problem that's facing our country. But as long as there are people who are willing to put on the uniform and defend us, and that includes our public safety people in our own cities, I think we'll prevail. God bless America.
Thank you, Dave. Tony.
Please follow and stand and veteran salute. You know, others calling you here in the morning. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible,
under God,
liberty and justice for all.
Justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. And as a reminder to everybody, this meeting is being recorded. Our secretary, Elizabeth Busick, is out today. She just had emergency surgery earlier in the week, is expected to come home this weekend, but Jenna Sergio will take role for us.
Denise Barnes. Tony Alivato.
I'm here.
Susan Joback?
Here.
Amelia Castro?
Here.
Meredith Chimelli?
Here.
Carol Downey?
Here.
Elaine Genaway?
Present.
Sherry Geyer?
Present.
Jean Hernandez? Carolyn Inham?
Here.
Larry Kramer?
Here.
Irene Martinez?
Present.
Jim Levy?
Here.
Nalita Mendoza? Crystal Miles?
Present.
Patty Mouton?
Present.
Phil Orland. John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella.
Hurrah.
Amina Sen Matthews.
Present.
Barbara Sloat. Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Here.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
I'm here.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. Evelyn Velez.
Here.
And Casey Hung.
Present.
We have a quorum check.
And I didn't hear Linda Barcelona called.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I skipped over you.
Sorry, I'm here.
I'll mark you present. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for all being here, and we do have a quorum. Okay, and we have a guest to introduce today. Before we get to our speaker, we have Carrie Keene, who is with PEP4U, which is Parkinson's exercise program. And she's here observing today to find out more what SCAC does. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you.
And then Erica, would you like to introduce Desiree?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce Desiree Gonzalez. She is part of our admin support unit for OC Community Services. If you'll all recall, Carissa Marietta resigned from the county several months back, so that position has been vacant, and Jenna's been wearing many hats and trying to cover as best she can, doing a great job. But finally, we have Desiree to join our team. We're very happy to have her. She'll be supporting all of the board's councils and commissions that OCCS supports, including SCAC. And this month she'll be using to shadow Jenna just to learn all of the councils and how we do business. And then we'll kind of check in and see how she's feeling in terms of being able to ride solo in October. If not, Jenna will still be there to support her. But you'll be seeing a lot of email traffic from her. And we just appreciate the additional support. I know you guys know how busy we've been. And Desiree's got great skills. She's new to us, but not new to the county, has a long history with child support services, so long county career, and I think that will serve her well. So welcome, Desiree.
Welcome, Desiree, and thank you, Erica, for introducing her to us. So now we are on to item number 6, which is our presentation. I know we're all looking forward to it. Jean Hernandez would do the introduction, but I don't see Jean. Is he on here and I'm just not seeing? No, Jean is not with us yet. So our speaker today is Carol Dupuis from St. Jude Hospital, and she's going to speak about St. Jude caregiving for seniors. I understand this is a very special day for Carol and that she is retiring. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Today is my last day, and I'm like, kind of tickled that on my last day, I get to do a presentation, not only on this particular topic, but also to SCAC. So that's very cool for me.
Well, we're honored that you're spending your last day with your incredible career with us. So, and I will ask you to introduce yourself so our members have a little sense of your background before you start into your presentation. I apologize that Jean is not here. But if you could, you know, no one better to introduce themselves than themselves.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Elaine. And again, I am delighted to be here. My name is Carol Dupuis, and I work at St. Jude Medical Center. I am a member of the Orange County, used to be the Orange County Mental Health Board, and now it is the Orange County Behavioral Health Advisory Board. I'm still trying to like get used to it. I'm also a member of the MHSA, Mental Health Service Act Steering Committee. I chair the Orange County Older Adult Mental Health Council. I host the North Orange County Senior Collaborative. Patty Mouton and I are both founding members of the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative. And here at St. Jude, I manage a couple of departments. I manage our community care navigation, which is our homeless services, our chemical dependency, and our mental health services. And I also, of course, manage our senior services department, of which I'm very proud. Let me also say, I don't know everybody here on SCAC, but there are a couple of people, in particular, Jim Levy. So Jim Levy, I have to say, tell you guys, this is very cool for me to see Jim on my last day here, because Jim was one of my very first volunteer interns at St. Jude. Is that cool or what?
Good to see you again.
Same here, Jim. Same here. Always good to see you. I don't see you often enough. So that's kind of fun for me to see Jim today. So, okay. shall I just go ahead and get started with the presentation?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so
we're looking forward to it.
Good. I want to do a screen share. And am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
Okay, let's see if I can do that then. Okay, very good. So, whoops. Alrighty. So we're going to be talking about gerotechnology, and that's actually kind of a new term. Because it's something that we didn't know that we needed to have until COVID. Frankly, we didn't really know that we needed to have it until COVID. And then it kind of slapped us in the face. And we, all of us kind of were like, uh-oh, we need to be doing something just a little bit different. Let me just say this initially about St. Jude Medical Center. It's not a surprise. We have a very strong commitment to the needs of not only older adults, but really to underserved populations in general. We have five core values that encompass compassion, dignity, justice, excellence, and integrity. We feel very strongly about all five of these core values. And this is something that I'm particularly proud of. St. Jude Medical Center is the only hospital in Orange County with a comprehensive senior services department. So I'm telling you that it's the only hospital in Orange County with a senior services department, but it's actually a little bit more than that. I didn't want to brag too much, but we're not only the only hospital in Orange County, we're the only hospital, probably the only hospital that you know that has a senior services department. Virtually all hospitals have services for seniors, but St. Jude is the only one that has an actual senior services department in Orange County, in San Bernardino County, in Riverside County, in San Diego County, in LA County, in Ventura County, and Santa Barbara County. And I can just keep going, because other than in San Francisco, I don't know of any other hospitals in the state that have an actual senior services department. And what's important about that is, I know all of you already know this, so I don't need to, doesn't need to be a pop quiz, but who do you think is the biggest population that goes to the hospital? Well, you know, it's going to be us. It's going to be we seniors. That's who it is that goes to the hospital most often. That's who pays the most to any hospital. So it blows me away that every hospital doesn't have a senior services department. They've all got labor and delivery. And we've all been to labor and delivery ourselves at one time or another in our lives. But most moms are only there, you know, once or twice. They're not there very often. And yet virtually every hospital has got labor and delivery, and they don't have senior services. Isn't that kind of like amazing? That just always kind of like blows me away that's how it is, but that's how it is. So what is the technology training program? In about March of 2020, when COVID hit and every one of us began to employ a new word in our vocabulary, that is pivot, we all had to kind of like pivot and, whoops, what is this? I'm sorry, I don't know why this is going on like that. So I'm so sorry, I apologize. I don't know what's going on here with that. It's technology, what can I say? We all had to kind of pivot. And one of the things that happened is that telehealth became a new word. Most of us hadn't really heard of telehealth before, but that was one of the things that came onto the scene. And when that happened, many older adults were faced with the thought that they were not going to be visiting their physician. And that was kind of alarming to just about everybody. It was alarming to patients who needed to actually visually see their physician. And it was also alarming to physicians and medical personnel who likewise needed to actually see their patients, to not have them come in front of them, to not be able to visualize what was going on with them. That was just a little bit frightening to just about everybody. So because we're a hospital, that was one of the things that we thought about in our department. What are we gonna do with this? So we started thinking about how can we change this? What can we do about it? And the first thing that I thought about was that we needed to find some way to train some of our older adults on technology. That was the first thing that I thought of, but that's actually not the first thing that I needed to have thought about. There, it turns out there are actually four elements that are needed in this process. Four things, not just one. We do need training and we need equipment and then we need support. I don't know about you, but I'm calling IT just about every day because I have some kind of technology question, some issue that's come up for me. So we needed support, but you know what the first thing was that we had to have and that we never thought about? And that's Wi-Fi. Most older adults who don't use computers, they don't have Wi-Fi. And there doesn't matter how much training that you offer or what kind of equipment that you have or support, if you don't have Wi-Fi, then nothing's gonna happen. So we knew that there were at least four things that we needed to begin to organize. I started kind of scouting around and talking to other people. And I discovered, one of the things that I discovered was that there was an organization, a nonprofit organization in, let me see, am I getting ahead of myself here? I discovered that there was a nonprofit organization in Long Beach called Human IT. And they offered some of those, many of those four things. And they offered them at very, very reasonable prices. Not only that, but I also, I work with Cal State Fullerton a lot, all the time. And I heard from Dr. Karen Wong in the gerontology department. And she said, hey, Carol, I'm teaching a class and I need a place to put some of my interns. Could you use any of my interns? And I said, yeah, I think so. So the wheels just started turning and evolution just kind of like stepped in and we began making some plans. So I guess I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. You know what, I'm gonna back up because I wanna talk about these other things here too. So we partnered with Cal State Fullerton and Dr. Wong, and we used their interns who became our tutors. They were our tutors for our students, and our students were older adults. And they loved that idea that they were going to be teaching older adults. They just like fell in love with that idea. And we started out, I think we had 17 interns and we had about 50 older adults just to start with who wanted some training. And we got some equipment. And then the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi was a little bit trickier. In fact, I shouldn't say it was a little bit trickier. That was the hardest piece. And like I was saying earlier, that turns out to be the most important piece. But we figured some things out. And again, if anybody is interested in getting some of that information, I'm so happy. There are resources for low cost. There are quite a few resources, by the way, for low cost Wi-Fi. And then there is also another good resource for hotspots that can serve as internet services for just about anybody. That is really inexpensive. I think that's like $15 a month. And the Wi-Fi is about that same amount too. So there are ways that you could get it. We just had to like get it and get it set up and get that organized. And initially that was pretty hard because many of those things are things that you have to do in person. working with the interns, they were doing technology training. If you can imagine this, they're doing technology training with older adults over the landline because many older adults, no surprise, didn't have smartphones. And so most people did have a landline, but that's what they had. And if you can imagine what it would be like to do technology training over a landline, no visualization, and trying to explain something that they can't see and you can't see. Oh my word. But everybody was enthusiastic about it. Everybody just worked together. And frankly, we just kind of had a blast. So it worked out. So why did we want to do the technology training? One of the things that we have learned is that as people live longer, many of them have special needs. One of the things that we know is that as people live longer, they are very often isolated. I don't know how many people that you are going to be coming into contact with today, but I can tell you that many of the older adults that we work with here at St. Jude and in our local community, many of them, however many people that you see today, if you want to think about that number, they may see that number of people, they may be in touch with that number of people in anywhere from a 30 to 90 day period. In other words, they're just not seeing very many people. There are not many people in some of our older adults' lives. And isolation, I don't need to tell you, is not a good thing for anyone. Many people are lonely and they cannot or do not reach out to others for a variety of reasons. They may experience personal conflicts regarding increased dependency. It's hard to be dependent. Nobody likes being dependent, especially during COVID when their resources were limited. So again, more reasons why we felt like we needed to do it. Isolation results from social contacts that may have been eroded. There may be physical limitations. And so that is another increase in isolation. People lack confidence in themselves. As we get older and become a little bit more dependent or feeling dependent, that's not a good feeling. And so our confidence can be attacked. Sometimes people are involved in caregiving for a loved one. There's the death of a spouse. And sometimes there is just simply a transportation issue and then inability to leave the home. So isolation sets in. One of the things that we know about people who are isolated is that they are much more likely to end up in the ER for a wide variety of reasons, including, believe it or not, socialization. People who are isolated are much more vulnerable to all kinds of scams. People who are isolated are much more likely to be involved in a fall, or they will have more frequent falls. They're much less likely to be medication compliant. They're much more likely to have heart disease, as well as many other health-related complications. Isolation can also be one of the things that is a gateway to dementia and Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. There are some serious complications with isolation. So we want to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to eliminate isolation when and if at all possible. One of the goals of our tech training program is to provide older adults with a trainer to help them learn how to use technology. The interns will help to meet the older adults' fundamental needs by providing training and support. So the support is they've trained somebody to use email, but they forgot their password. Or they want to attach a document and they can't remember how the heck it is that you attach a document to an email. well, one of the benefits of having our interns is that they were acting as tech support. So the older adult knew, the student knew that they could call their trainer whenever they wanted to, whenever they needed to, and they could get that tech support. Somebody on the other end of the phone would tell them, okay, this is what you need to do to create a new password. If you need to do that, this is what you can do to retrieve your old password. This is what you can do to get onto Facebook. Whatever it was they needed to do, that tech support was going to be there for them. The Gerotech training program can provide trained interns to meet the technological needs and allow our older adults to remain independent, using technology to meet their needs and become comfortable navigating the online world. Become comfortable. That's actually one of the things that we're looking at going forward, is training our older adults to become comfortable. Because I don't know how often that any of you are on the computer, but you're probably on it pretty often in one way or another. But I'm going to be retiring. Today is my last day. And for the most part, I am going to be retiring, and I won't need to be on the computer as much as I have been on the computer. And when people don't need to be on the computer as often or as much, one of the things that happens is that they forget how to do certain things. All of us are like that. And so their comfortability with being on the computer begins to wane. So one of the modules that we're in the process of developing now going forward are developing ways that we can motivate older adults to be on their, whatever their device is, more often, increase that the frequency that they are using technology, find ways that they are going to need to be using that technology so that they can keep that comfort level at a higher rate there. The training program can also provide no cost or low cost electronic equipment. We were able to secure a couple of grants. We've gotten a couple of grants. Actually, now that I think about it, we've gotten probably about 3 grants. None of them were huge, but they all help. Everything helps, and you put it all together. And one of the things that you're able to do is provide various services, including that we have the opportunity to provide some low cost equipment. What we do is we will, if somebody says that they don't have a laptop, but they would like to take the training and they would like to use a laptop, we can offer them a year loan free of a laptop. And then if they want, at the end of the year, if they want to purchase that laptop, that's totally fine. We're happy to sell it to them at a very, very reduced cost, and I'll tell you, I'm gonna lie to you if I tell you exactly how much, but it's a couple hundred bucks. So it's not an expensive amount at all. These are refurbished Dell computers. They're good computers, good laptops, but not only that, we have tablets. We have, frankly, honestly, it's probably whatever it is that they would like to have. Or they can just buy it outright too from us or through Human IT, again, at a reduced rate. We can provide low-cost Wi-Fi options or no-cost hotspots if an individual qualifies. And again, I'm happy to provide you with any of those resources too, for that matter. Because it shouldn't be a secret. None of these resources should be a secret. It should be something that everybody knows about. And then there's the tech support from the interns. If a senior should forget how to do something or they want to learn something, that's outside of their training session there. Then they can just, they have somebody that they can call and they already know this individual. So it isn't just somebody that they're talking to in another country or in another state. This is somebody that they already have a relationship with. This is a voice that they're already familiar with and they can get a hold of. And that is very comforting and comfortable for them as well. Some of the benefits of participating in the program. for confidence in navigating the online world and feeling like you are part of the world. That's the other thing too. Technology is rampant everywhere, of course, and we're all using it right now today. And that way older adults then feel like they are more a part of the world. And that just that alone makes them feel less isolated. There are more options to connect with other people. There's a greater sense of independence. They have someone that they can talk to on a weekly basis. So their tutor sets up meetings with them every week, and they may talk with that their tutor every week, may talk with them whenever they need to, but there is that connection that's there too. It's also building new pathway in their brains. And all of those things help to stave off some of the signs of aging. Another benefit is reducing depression and isolation. And lastly, it's probably not lastly, but last on my list for today, is learning how to recognize and avoid scams. Just last week, one of my staff reported to me that one of their older adults had gotten a call from Publishers Clearinghouse telling them how much that they had won. Yeah. And all they had to do was send in the tax and then they would get their big prize. And I know the answer to this. They literally cleaned out their very, very, very meager savings and sent it in to what they thought was Publishers Clearinghouse. And of course, that was it. And this is an older adult whose income is, about $1,100 a month. Certainly could not have afforded that. So one of the benefits to the program is that you learn how to recognize and avoid scams. As far as the interns are concerned, being a trainer includes calling the older adult on a weekly basis, setting up appointments throughout the week, finding out the needs of the older adults and helping them accomplish their goals. So they not only found out some of their technology needs, but because they got to know these older adults, they also got to know some of their other needs as well. For instance, were they having a hard time, and this is during the early days of COVID, were they having a hard time getting their groceries? And if they were, we have some other programs here at St. Jude that they were able to connect them with to make sure that they got their medications picked up or groceries delivered or got signed up for Meals on Wheels. Another option or another benefit that the trainers got was they learned to develop patience. OMG, they learned patience like they had never experienced before. I don't know how it is for any of you with some of us, because I'm an older adult, but sometimes the older adults that they worked with were a little bit, how can I say this delicately, needed a little bit of extra time, or perhaps needed a lot of extra time, a lot of opportunities to explain things many times. And so that's one of the things that the trainers benefited from, is learning some patience. One of the things that we talked about with the trainers, and the trainers get a lot of supervision, they got a lot of training themselves, including that they learned, if you're gonna talk on the phone, you talk on the phone and you smile when you're talking on the phone, because if you're smiling when you're talking on the phone, people can hear that. They can hear that you're smiling, and that makes things just a lot easier too. They can hear that you're friendly, that you're wanting to do something wonderful for them, with them, and that just makes things easier. They also learned, the patience part is they learned to listen, something that maybe they weren't always as good at. And older adults, such as myself, such as many of you, we have a lot to offer and we have a lot to say. And so the trainers benefited from this experience as well. They benefited from the gift of a new relationship for both of them. And I'm telling, another kind of interesting thing is we have many of the interns were females. It just turned out that way. Not all of them, but many of them were. And they wanted to call themselves the Digi Chicks, which I loved that they wanted to call themselves the Digi Chicks. And they loved being able to work with the older adults. They had no idea that they would enjoy it as much as they did, which was also, I thought, just very cool. For many, this phone call will be the only human contact they might have during the course of the week. Absolutely true. Something you and I may not even think about. The telephone calls keep older adults in touch with their world in a different way. Loneliness has a negative impact on health, as we've already said, for people of all ages, but for older adults, the impact is even more profound. It's not just greater, it's more profound. So one of the things that we did with our interns is we wanted to make sure that they had a lot of resources available to them. And again, you need to know, in my department, we're social workers. We are not computer geeks. We are not IT specialists. We're social workers. So for us to provide a technology training program, and this is a hospital. This is not, you know, that's another thing too. So it's not a likely place for something like this to develop. But we knew that we needed to do that. And we also knew that we needed to provide resources for our interns to offer to our older adults. One of the things that we did this, they had new resources literally every week that they could offer new things that they were going to be doing with their older adults, just to help stimulate and motivate them literally every week. One of the resources is an organization called Well Connected, COVIA Well Connected. This is put on through the Lutheran Church. It's a program that was developed in Oakland, California, and now it's nationwide, and it's also free. And what it is long time ago, probably 15 years ago, Erica, you might even remember Senior Centers Without Walls. I don't know if you, yes, okay, well, that's what this is, Erica. This is Senior Centers Without Walls, which I was like totally in love with and could not get my seniors really interested enough in it then, but now we're just like really pushing it. So started out as Senior Centers Without Walls, meaning that it was a telephone conference call. And they offered coffee clutch kinds of conversations with four or five other seniors. And you just talked about everyday kinds of things, or you could take classes. Well, it is really grown and expanded now. It is still free, and they have a catalog, a seasonal catalog. Every quarter they come out with a different catalog of services and classes that you can take, and it ranges from learning a new language to depression counseling to you can get you can, my, this is my favorite class, Birds Outside My Kitchen Window. That is a class that that is often filled to the brim. People love to talk about what they're seeing outside their window. but you can take all kinds of classes. One of my interns last year taught a 12-week art class, and I'm like, are you kidding? How can you do 12 weeks of art on the phone or online? And she did, and it was so successful. She had, the class was filled, and it was so successful, they asked her to come back and do it again during the summertime. There are all kinds of classes.
Carol, just letting you know, this is the 2-minute warning.
Oh my goodness, okay.
You have so much good information, but two more.
Okay, so I'm gonna like totally skip down. I don't even know what more to say. But I would encourage you to take this well-connected class, information, not class, but well-connected information, because that's one of the things that we offer to make sure that we want to make sure that people have. Let's see, we've talked about internet access and support. Confidentiality is another area too that we want to make sure that we respect our individuals' confidentiality. Things that the interns have gotten. Probably the last thing that I would want to make sure that you all know is that if you know someone who might benefit from the class, please make sure that you give us their information. We're happy to reach out to them and provide whatever kind of training or support that they might need. One of the things that we say is, what do you want to learn? It's not a prescribed program. If they want to learn how to use TikTok, okay, well, we can teach them how to do that too. Certainly YouTube, ordering things online, whatever. So thank you very much for the opportunity to share about the class that we offer. And please, I would encourage you to make sure that if you can, refer anybody that might be interested in taking, learning more about it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Carol. That was a lot of good information, and it's in line with what SCAC does and also supports the information that we provided to the Board of Supervisors in our last request to overcome the senior digital divide. And kind of happy to let you know that we did secure $2.4 million in funding from the Board of Supervisors at their last meeting to procure devices and education for our seniors. So this is all great information, and this reminds us we all need to keep working together, because all of this comes together. You know, it is technology, it is healthcare, it is financial abuse, and reducing the possibility of our seniors becoming victims. So good information, and glad to know what St. Joe's is able to offer. So thank you for this presentation, and you are welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting if you'd like to observe us. But I know also on your last day, you may have other things you need to do. But again, we are honored that you are have spent some time with us on your last day before your well-deserved retirement. And we all wish you a very fulfilling, enriching, and fun retirement. So thank you, Carol. Okay, now we will go on to, this is time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak from the public?
We did not receive any via email. We do have some members attending the meeting this morning. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Or if you're calling in, you can hit *9 and I will unmute you. Once again, if you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair.
Okay, there are no requests to speak, so public communications is now closed. And we are on to item number 8 on our agenda, new business. So one of our members and board member, Phil Mandeville, needed to resign from SCAC due to a time commitment. So we need to have a new member appointed to the executive board. Appointments to the executive board are done by the full council of SCAC. And one of our members has indicated an interest. This was reviewed by the executive board, and it comes as a nomination from the board to nominate Meredith Chalemi as the at-large executive board member. So are there any additional nominations from the floor? This board position is available to all SCAC members. So are there any nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing no nominations from the floor, I would actually like to have a formal nomination and second from the executive board. So who will like to, so Gene
Hernandez? Gene Hernandez, I'll nominate Meredith for the board.
Yeah, for the at-large executive board position. And who was the second?
Cynthia.
Cynthia Thacker, so it's been moved and seconded. Meredith Chalemi for executive board member. There are no additional nominations. All in favor of Meredith Chalemi for the at-large executive board member position, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Carries unanimously. Congratulations, Meredith, and thank you very much for your willingness to continue to serve the seniors of Orange County. So with that, with Meredith moving on to the executive board, that also meant that she had to relinquish her chairmanship of the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee, because according to the SCAC bylaws, if you are a chair of a standing committee, you cannot be an executive board member. So we did have a member of that committee step up and take on that chairmanship of the Wellbeing Reimagined Committee, and that is Barbara Sloat. And that has been approved by the executive board. So Barbara is now the chair of that standing committee. And I know Meredith will help transition her, and we will all provide support to Barbara, but greatly appreciate her stepping up because there's a lot of good things going on in that committee. We want to be sure that they continue. Okay, just wanted to touch base on our SCAC work cycle, because we know most of the work takes place in the standing committees, and then we all come together at our workshop. And our workshop, then we develop what is our list of priorities to then present to the Board of Supervisors as where resources and assets should be allocated for Orange County seniors. So taking into consideration what our schedule has been, and we did get out of sync because of COVID and the times we weren't meeting, but and the main thing to take into consideration is what is the budget cycle for the Board of Supervisors. So this year, or this actually, I still have trouble saying 2022, but our next SCAC workshop where we all come together, and then, and for our newer members who may not have experienced, it's a regular meeting and we all come together and then we break into smaller groups and we discuss what are the priorities. And this is where the standing committees, all the work you've been doing throughout the year, where it kind of bubbles up and you bring that forward. So we can then as a whole decide what are the priorities for Orange County seniors. So the workshop, the next one will be in February. Then that'll give us time after that February workshop to refine that list of priorities to present to the Board of Supervisors in May, which is Older Americans Month. So so standing committees, you know, now this is your goal. This is your timeline for when you're gonna have to have those discussions within your committee for your members to have an understanding of what are the priorities that you're gonna bring to the workshop. Meredith, you have something to say?
Yes, good morning. Actually, Casey had a really good question that he emailed me, so I'll pose it now. Should the standing committees give recommendations in the format that they saw with the tech request? Should it be that detailed? Like what kind of written information would be preferable for them to bring to the February workshop?
Well, when it's brought to the workshop, one thing that we really do need is to have data supporting that. Because when we make a request to the Board of Supervisors, they're going to need data to support it, to justify. Again, remember, whenever we go to the Board of Supervisors, we're requesting, usually it's in the terms of funding, that's the bottom line, but it's an asset or allocation of some sort of county resources, which again comes to funding somehow, whether or not it's by staffing or purchase of equipment or support of a certain program. And those are all taxpayer dollars. And those taxpayer dollars need to have data supporting and justification. I think one great example was, well, the technology committee, and also last year, Carolyn Inman presented to us from, at that time, it was the Housing and Transportation Committee. And she actually had something written which we could work off of. So it's not a formal request, but putting it to paper does help. And if you can put it to paper, it does help remind your committee members when they're having those conversations in the workshop. Because in the workshop, You're not going to be meeting with your standing committee. There will be members from different standing committees together. So, but it does help them remember what that is and to provide the information. So did anyone want to add to that? Okay, great. So anything else on our SCAC work cycle? Okay, we're still planning the November meeting to be in person. I hope we don't have to pivot on a dime like we've done so much during this COVID pandemic, but we are planning to have it in person. And you know, we will let you know if that does need to change and we need to go back to Zoom. But our October meeting will be via Zoom. Okay, old business, the status of the request of the Board of Supervisors. Actually, I just want to cheer and I want to cheer our tech committee. I did send you that email regarding the Board of Supervisors approval of $2.4 million of funding. So as we know, and those of us who work on city governments, you approve the funding and then come the contracts. So it's kind of a two-step process and Erica will be speaking to that. So I don't want to steal her thunder, but thank you so much to the technology committee. You did a huge amount of work in a short time and we knew it was a short time frame because we needed to speak up and put in our bid for seniors for this one-time funding that was coming through the county. So a huge thank you and kudos to the technology standing committee. So, and I want to acknowledge some people I see on here, Meredith, Tony, Crystal. Where's Dave? Is Dave on my next screen?
Probably page two.
You're page two, Dave. Page two. And Carolyn, did I miss anybody?
That's it.
Okay, well, let's give them a round of applause because they did a great job. So thank you so much. And the seniors of Orange County are indebted to you. So, Jean and I did meet with Supervisor Foley and it took a while to get the meeting on the calendar, but we did meet with her and it was via Zoom. And I just received a very nice thank you from her that I'd like to share with you. Says, Dear Chair Genoway, thank you for all your work on behalf of Orange County seniors. I appreciate the valuable insights you shared during our conversation, and I am so pleased that the board supported the advisory council's proposal during last week's meeting. I look forward to future collaboration to address the needs of our senior community. Please let me know how my team or I can assist you in your efforts in any way. Kind regards, Honorable Katrina Foley. So we will now, pursue meeting with the remainder of the balance of the Board of Supervisors. Again, it just takes a while to get on calendars, but we will keep you apprised of that. And chair comments, I think I've said it all. So I will stop talking and let Erica give you an update. Erica, take it away.
Hi everyone, good morning, happy Friday. So my update starts with a homework assignment that I actually had from when the SCAC exec board met, and that was to get clarification on the third shot versus booster for COVID-19 vaccination. So it's my understanding that the third shot is already available. I was assuming that the third shot was also booster and people were just using that term interchangeably, but they're two very distinct things. So the third shot has already been approved for those that are immunocompromised. And if your doctor has recommended that you are or should benefit from the third shot if you're immunocompromised, you can get that third shot through the county. It's already built into the Othena platform. So you would go in and register for the third shot. The only thing is that if you get it through Othena, but you didn't get your first two through the county, maybe you got it elsewhere, you would just need to bring your vaccine card so that they can show that, you know, you've already had two and now this is your third one.
Otherwise, if you did get your first two through Othena, through one of the county pods, they would already have that record on file, so you wouldn't have to worry about bringing your card to prove that you already had two. But that is definitely available to the immunocompromised, and you could get it today. The booster is, from my understanding, it'll be available later in the month, but we're not sure how much the county is really going to be involved in the booster, only because the medical marketplace has so much more capacity than they did back in January. So the county is really cutting back on their involvement with the administering the vaccine, only to complement and come alongside where the medical marketplace is not offering. So let's say your CVS's and Walgreens or your local community clinics were operating Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, but there was still a need in that particular area. The county would come in and complement and maybe offer hours from like 5 to 8 p.m. or on the weekend, something like that. So really the idea is not to compete with the other available options for vaccines or boosters, but to really fill in the gaps.
Erica, can I just add, if you receive Pfizer, if you're getting the third shot, if you receive the Pfizer vaccine, you need to get the Pfizer third shot. If you receive the Moderna vaccine, you need to get the Moderna third shot. And I know I was talking to some people yesterday, and different CVS pharmacies have different ones. So before you go, you need to check which one they have. But the question that I asked, and I see Meredith had asked it also in our chat box, is if you get the third boost or the third shot, can you still get the booster? Because our understanding is the booster will cover some of the variants. So some people may not want to get the third shot if that precludes them from getting the booster. Do we have that answer?
I don't. And that would probably be a good question for the medical professionals. So I can talk with HCA to see if we can get some medical guidance on that. But in the meantime, if anyone knows the answer, because they've already talked to their doctor about that, feel free to chime in.
My understanding is that the third booster and there is no difference. It's the same shot. So it's not specific to the Delta variant. So if you get a booster or the third shot, it's the same thing.
Well, the booster's not available yet.
Booster is only available for the immunocompromised, which is also called the third shot because they're referring to the mRNA, which consists of two shots.
That's what my CVS told me as well, because my ex-husband has cancer. So he was able to get the third one, and they said the third shot booster is the same thing.
There's mass confusion.
Yeah, there is, because I know our city has that question into Dr. Chow, and we haven't received an answer yet.
I was able to get the third shot. I have MSD, and I was able to get the third shot, and it's my understanding it's the same thing as the booster.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can get clarification and put that out. So, Erica, if you could please continue with your report.
Sure. I apologize. My attempt to get clarification probably created more questions, but we'll get to the bottom of it. The next item that I wanted to mention, and Elaine already shared that the board at their last meeting approved the over $2.4 million allocation for the senior technology program through the use of county ARPA funds. So part two of that will be to bring back to the Board of Supervisors a recommendation for the county to enter into a contract with Get Set Up. The contractor will be responsible for the training piece. So all the seniors that receive up to 2,200 iPads will be offered that one-on-one training to help set up their device. In addition, the contract with Get Set Up will allow for Orange County to have our
county subscription to their online platform of classes through Get Set Up. And that's for every senior, not just one that received one of the iPads through this program, but anyone that has their own device but just wants to enroll in some of the classes, that subscription will be available upon board approval. So we are scheduled to be on as a supplemental agenda item on Tuesday, September 14th. So as soon as that item is approved, essentially every senior in Orange County that wants to start taking or enrolling in classes will have access to that. So we will, we're preparing a press release and a flyer so that we can get that out to everyone. All of you in SCAC, please, you know, help us get the word out, because we want it to be a service that's heavily utilized and get our money's worth, right? And then we'll also be creating a separate flyer for the iPads. We're not necessarily going to advertise that there's 2,200 available, because we don't want our phones ringing off the hook and 2,200 being gone in an hour. We want to roll this out low and slow and make sure that it's successful and do it in increments, because if we need to make any adjustments, we need the flexibility to do that on a smaller scale as we're rolling out. So, but definitely there will be a flyer that iPads are available. The criteria will be that you have to be a senior, of course. We did put an income requirement on there that is not necessarily as low as what the other low income programs might be, because that wedges out a lot of people. So we put an annual income cap of $75,000 a year. They also have to self-certify that they don't have access to any other devices at home, so they don't already own a computer or tablet or what have you. And then in addition, they need to self-certify that they have one of the risk factors for isolation. We want to make sure that this is targeting the need, and that is to reduce senior isolation. And those risk factors can be someone that lives alone, someone that lives in a care facility, someone that has limited English skills, someone that has a functional disability or a medical diagnosis that would preclude them from going out and participating in in-person activities. I'm forgetting all the others, but there are criteria for isolation risk factors that we want to make sure that we're capturing. So we also have the ability to direct ship the iPads. Our vendor is going to be doing that for those that can't come to one of our designated pickup locations. But we want to make sure that, you know, the devices are secure. We have all the liability and waiver forms completed. All of the paperwork is complete before the devices get issued. So it will be a process. We want to make sure we do it the right way. But the big thing is that it will be approved on Tuesday. And then that's when the real work begins. Any questions on that? Okay. Then the next item is I wanted to announce that, and I think I mentioned in prior SCAC meetings. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I couldn't get my hand up fast enough.
Yeah, I feel you.
Sorry. So on the Get Set Up portion of this, will we be able, I'm thinking specifically for my council meeting at the end of the month, will I be able to provide information about how seniors, because any senior can participate in the Get Set Up, correct? Yeah, correct. So will I be able to have definitive information on how to go about doing that by the 28th, you think?
Absolutely. We'll have the flyer ready by Tuesday. We'll get that to SCAC. And then if your city would like an editable version because you would like to brand it with your city's logos or messaging, you know, this is an Orange County subscription. So however your seniors like to receive information or would be amenable to a program, and maybe, you know, seeing a Villa Park logo, for example, might pique their interest. We want to make it customizable to your communities.
That would be great. Thank you. Okay.
Can I request a customized one for the city of Anaheim, please?
So what we'll do is we will give you the template and then you can create. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Then the next order.
Erica, will we all get that template? Will we all get the template?
We'll share the template out so that you can customize it. Absolutely.
Perfect.
So the next item is the announcement of the COVID-19 resource toolkit for older adults that we mentioned in the last few meetings. It is now live on the Office on Aging website. We're not really advertising it strongly. It's considered a soft launch so that those on the steering committee that help to design the toolkit can take a look at it. And then if we need to make any edits, we can do so before the actual public launch, which will be again on Tuesday after the board meeting. There'll be a press release from the county that introduces the Office on Aging COVID-19 resource toolkit. And really there's so many different topics and areas of interest that are included in the toolkit. It has the purpose of it is twofold. Number one is to provide resources and information for older adults themselves as they start to re-engage and resume in-person activities. And number two is to provide resources and information for those that are working with older adults, be it staff or volunteers at senior centers, community centers, adult daycare centers. Lots of great information on how to have productive conversations regarding grief and loss, how to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, some self-care tips, even some of the social graces that many seniors may have even forgotten after being homebound for almost 18 months, now resuming in-person activities. We kind of forget how to interact with each other. Do I shake your hand now? Do I give you a hug? I used to give you a hug. It's not okay now. So what are some of those social graces? So I think that the goal is really to find some practical information for those that want it. There'll be some downloadable resources that people can print and have on hand or duplicate and make copies, as well as links to websites that provide more official government information and everywhere in between. So I think one of the ways that SCAC can help promote this is actually I've talked to Cynthia Thacker about using the senior center liaisons to help get the word out. We do have a flyer that talks about the toolkit. It has a QR code that you can scan and it'll go right to the toolkit. The flyer has been translated into multiple languages, so we can get those flyers out to the senior center liaisons. You could really connect with your senior centers, introduce the toolkit, and encourage them to use it. That would be extremely helpful to us.
And we'll be doing that right after the it's presented to the Board of Supervisors on the 14th.
Right. So,
So we don't get ahead of them with their introduction to it.
Right. So I don't know the best way to do that. Should I just send all the materials to Cynthia and then she can distribute?
Why don't you send it to me? Because usually how we distribute the flyer, send it to me and then I'll get it out to whoever needs to go. So you will be after the supervisors meeting on the 14th. SCAC members, you will be getting a couple of flyers and emails to distribute and share. And Cynthia and I will work on the wording for the senior center liaisons.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And then the last thing I just wanted to share is an update on the master plan for aging. We were able to finally have our local playbook workshop with the state. They hosted a Zoom workshop for us in Orange County. Elaine participated along with some of our local county leaders that oversee aging programs in the county. That happened on August 16th. And it was really nice to just hear from the state's perspective how they envision local implementation. There was a lot of focus on data. In fact, we got a demo on the state's data dashboard, and they were able to slice and dice the data on the dashboard to show us some of the unique things about Orange County, some things that would be of interest to us. And that data dashboard, as cool as it is, I mean, there's just so much potential. They have so many things that they have called their placeholders that are grayed out, that they don't have the data built yet, but it's coming. And it really is, when we look at the five bold goals of the Master Plan for Aging, underneath that is over 130 initiatives. And this data dashboard feeds into how each county and California as a whole are doing in each of those 130 initiatives. So I've talked to Elaine about it. We think that it would be really great for SCAC to be able to see the data dashboard and how it works. There is so many requests for data that come through SCAC and through the Office on Aging. And before this was built, we didn't have a state resource that we could go to. So it's pretty exciting that this type of a tool exists and that it will continue to become more and more relevant as we look at our local data, understand where the gaps are in Orange County, because the 132 initiatives, not all of them are going to be on fire for Orange County. We may be doing well in, you know, more than half of those. And so we really need to see through the data where the gaps are and what the priorities are for Orange County. So I have asked our state contact if they would be willing to come and provide a demonstration on the data dashboard for SCAC. They said yes, but said that they're pretty booked out for the rest of the year. So maybe we could revisit in January. Otherwise, if we really think that this is something we want sooner rather than later, I could try and do like a train the trainer session with them and at least show you guys. For those of you that are more data savvy, you might want to just play around yourself and kind of share with your committees what you were able to find, you know, that's topic specific to your standing committees. So we'll come up with a game plan, but I think it was a productive meeting because not only did we see that the data dashboard and hear from the state about local implementation, but we were also able to share some of the things that Orange County is working on and our next steps. And we got a thumbs up from the state. They said in many ways, Orange County is ahead of the game. You know, we've already done a service inventory on everything that we offer in the county and then what we rely on from our community partners. We are taking a look at our local data. OC SPA already has a very robust data working group, and they are very much active in working on a data project that the Office on Aging is helping to support. And then with community events that are already in the works, I know Patty Mouton has mentioned the November 5th event, Mastering the Master Plan, which I'll be speaking at, but we were able to brief four out of the five board offices on the Master Plan for Aging, as well as the upcoming event. And there's a lot of interest there from the Board of Supervisors to have a more active role, or at least the county being able to co-sponsor that event in November. So lots of exciting things happening, and you know, we'll continue to keep you posted. I will use this as a standing item on my updates for SCAC so that you guys are in the know. That's all I have.
Oh, well, that was a lot. Thank you, Erica. That all very good. You've been very busy. I'm always amazed at how much is on your plate and how you're able to accomplish so much. So thank you. And thanks for that in-depth report. Okay, now we're on to item number 10, the standing committee reports. We'll start off with the standing committee ground rules. If you want me to address why we have standing committee ground rules, or Jean or Meredith, who would like to?
Well, we had one meeting so far, and that was Meredith's meeting on this last week. And I did read the ground rules, basically, the what you had mentioned, Elaine, and it was pretty simple. I think this group is already pretty well tuned to that. So regarding we kind of opened with a statement that you suggested some verbiage, which I thought was right on. And that was that there are many topics of interest to seniors. Our role is an advisory body to the OC Board of Supervisors on matters affecting seniors. And as such, the topics discussed in our meetings are those topics that are within the purview of the board. Topics that do not fall within this area of responsibility are best left to be discussed at other organizations. And that was fine. Is there something more you want to add, Elaine?
No, and the reason why we'll be starting the standing committee meetings with these ground rules is because there have been times when the standing committees are either getting off topic and not being focused on the work that they need to do, or also there's sometimes issues with certain, you know, some standing committee meeting members taking a lot of the meeting and making a lot of the comments without allowing opportunities for other members. I kind of feel like I'm speaking to the choir because right now I'm speaking to SCAC as a whole. And I know our SCAC members are very focused on what we need to accomplish in our standing committees, but also realize, and especially for our newer members, you may not know that to be on a standing committee, you do not have to be a member of SCAC. So there are some members of the standing committees who are not as focused on what we are trying to accomplish because they may not, you know, realize that, well, we need to get to a certain point by our workshop. So all the discussions in the standing committees need to focus on the work of SCAC and what we can present to the Board of Supervisors. There's a lot of interesting topics out there in the world, but they're not all things that we can make a request to the Board of Supervisors about, which is what we need to
right. Make. Actually, I mentioned Meredith. It was actually Sandy's committee that met, and that was housing transportation yesterday. And we did read that. And just what you said, Elaine, we had a couple that really were straying off topic, but a lot of it what I like is that these goals are so general that you can still really incorporate a lot of that stuff under your particular purview. There was a lot of interest in one area that was kind of getting out there more, health and it's not called health nutrition now.
Well-being reimagined.
Yeah. Well-being reimagined. And it would have been more their area or at least combined efforts. And I said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. We can do that. What I liked about, and I'll let Sandy talk, give an overview of her meeting in a minute here, but basically it was a matter of, hey, you know what? We're not limited. There's a lot of things we can work with the other committees. So let's do that. And so if I can't, Elaine, let's go ahead and I'll have Sandy. Sandy, you want to talk about that? Your meeting?
Yeah, let me just though acknowledge Meredith because she did provide a lot of the text. Of the
okay. No problem.
Initial. Now on to Sandy.
Oh, okay, thank you. And I thought of the same thing too, Jean, but anyway, I'll start with the beginning. Our presentation was Transforming Wellness in Orange County. It was presented by Karen Lincolns, Lauren Brand, and Jennifer Brea. And what they were talking about was there's such a strong correlation between mental health and homelessness. So that's how we were tying it into the housing. And they have a new program they're working on where they're trying to, or they have already started, to put the public and private sectors together as partners. So hospitals, faith-based, academic, and they're building mental health wellness facilities, if you will. And the first one that was opened, the campus was in the city of Orange, and that opened in 2021. The next one that's going to open is going to be in Irvine in 2023. And the central area has to be determined. And what they're doing is it's a treatment facility and they're starting to work with the police as well as the fire departments. And instead of putting these people either into jail or the emergency room, they'll bring them to these facilities where they have immediate help for them, be it drug abuse, alcohol, or mental health and all of the above issues. And so it's a crisis center to help the people out. So maybe that's where Jean thought maybe we were getting too far out there, but it is correlated with the homelessness, which goes into the housing. And it appears they're doing a pretty good job. They're trying to make it a little bit better in the sense that a lot of the care is actually outside, so that they're not always feeling like they're in a like a hospital bed. There are hospital beds for those that come in that are very severe, of course. But the law enforcement they've been working with, very happy with this so far. They think this is the way to go, because we're wasting so much money taking them to the wrong facilities. And they were saying in Hogue Hospital, for example, one of three people going to the emergency room, it's something to do with mental health, whereas Hogue isn't really set up to handle mental health. Some of the, let's see, what else do I have on that? I think that's pretty much it on that. And then on our senior non-emergency medical transportation, there were a total of 8,790 rides. The price ranged from $43 to $52. And the miles was anywhere from 5 to 8.10 miles. And let's see, I think that's about it on my report. So is that what you're referring to, Gene?
I am, Sandy, you did a great job. In fact, Sandy's meeting was very robust with good, a lot of good dialogue and input. So now next would be Meredith. I think you're gonna probably hand the baton off to Barbara, or did you wanna comment on anything?
Up to Barbara, I'm flexible. Okay,
Barbara, please. You're on mute, there you go.
Yeah, I have been out of town for a week attending my granddaughter's wedding in Oregon. So I'm just getting back into it. And Meredith and I are meeting via phone this afternoon, and we're going to go over a lot of the issues with well-being reimagined. I'm having a tough time with that title.
Yeah, you and me both.
And what I would like to do, what I'm really going to be in need of, are more people on the caregiving committee, subcommittee. And so I'll need some recommendations from some of you, or if you know of, or if some of you want to be on that subcommittee. That would be great, but I will need help, because I'm not as familiar with those of you involved with STAC, being fairly new to it myself. So I don't have any particular recommendation right now, but I expect to get up to speed quickly with the help of Meredith.
Thank you, Barbara. And you know, Barbara, just a suggestion, you might want to contact Trevor O'Neill from Anaheim. That he's on council, but that's his job. His full-time job is that care, and he's really knowledgeable on that. Now, I don't know if his time schedule would permit that, but I would certainly start there.
Okay, and remember, you do not need to be a member of SCAC to be correct. A member of a standing committee. So any of you know, who know professionals working in this area, this would be a great thing to reach out to them to see if they would, participate on the standing committee. It's also a good introduction to SCAC, because many of you started with just the standing committee and then became a SCAC member. But about those contacts you have who work in this professionally.
Okay. That's a very good point. Yeah. And I knew that he was not in SCAC, so this would be a nice little segue. Okay, Evelyn, how about you?
I'm unmuted, yes. So the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee had just a working session last month, and we finalized both our mission and our goals and objectives. We will be meeting on September 20th. There's a little known person in Orange County, I think, who's going to be a speaker, Eric Dansek?
Erica, unless she's got a male counterpart.
Erica will be our speaker. And we're looking forward to that. She's going to be briefing us on more of the elements that are of interest to us, which is the sector regarding elder abuse, as well as the technology initiatives. So that'll be on September 20th. And that's my report.
Very good. And we don't do IT, do we? That's their own thing.
They've completed their task, the technology committee, and they were very successful.
They were highly successful. I'm still very impressed with that. And I think that's it for us.
Okay. Thank you, Jean. And thank you to the standing committee chairs. Next on our agenda is item number 11, the senior center liaisons. Cynthia Thacker had to step off to go to an appointment. So just a reminder, you should be reaching out to your senior centers, not just via email, make that phone call. You all have the list of which ones are your senior centers that you're assigned to. After the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, we will be sending out specific things for you to contact with them. The most important thing is that toolkit that we've been working on, because that was developed specifically with senior center staff in mind. So that'll be coming out. And if you need any help contacting or connecting with your senior center director, please let Cynthia know and she will help with that or go with you to meet with them either in person or via phone or via Zoom, whatever is the appropriate manner of contact. And also keep in mind, different cities handle it differently. So the senior centers are run by the cities, not by the county. Some cities have multiple senior centers. They may have a different point of contact at each center, or some cities may have one point of contact that then distributes the information to their other senior centers. So that's why these are, you need to make that contact to see what's the preferred method. And this is a two-way communication. It's not just you sending out information, but be receptive to what they have to share so you can bring it back to SCAC. Patty, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. On Tuesday afternoon, the Senior Center Directors meeting will take place. And I would be happy to provide any introductions if members of SCAC wanted to sit in on that meeting or just say hello. And if there is something you want disseminated kind of globally to all the Senior Center Directors, then I'd be happy to include that on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. Or maybe include what you could include on the agenda is that the SCAC liaisons will be contacting them. Because we don't want to bypass the relationship between the senior center liaisons and
great.
The director. So actually ask them to, give them a heads up to be expecting information from us. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, Jean.
Yeah, I forgot to mention too in my report that Sandy Stanks Committee, the Housing and Transportation, they're looking for some good speakers in a myriad of areas. So if you colleagues run across somebody, say, oh, this would be good. And then, and again, think broadly. It doesn't just say when I say housing, that can be everything from that new trick phone that we heard about, anything under that umbrella, and same with transportation. So she's got covered October, November, but is it November, Sandy, you need or January? January, I think. So anyway, that's what we're, if you can.
Okay, just also get a hold of us. Keep in mind, we're dark in December. And for the standing committees, our workshop is in February. So you may want to have a working meeting without a speaker, but for the committee to do the committee work before February. So that you're.
And that was discussed, Elaine. I think that's exactly what that committee is going to do in January. They want to talk, visit the goals so they're prepared for that workshop.
Okay, great. Good. Thanks. Okay, Evelyn.
Oh, I was just texting Patty. I just wanted to know what was the date and time of that meeting. I'll just text her. That's fine. Okay. Thank you.
And Patty, your hand's still up. Did you have anything else?
Oh, no, I don't know how to get my hand down. I'm sorry.
Okay. Just didn't want to ignore you.
The meeting is September 14th at 2:30.
Okay, any other questions or comments regarding senior center liaisons?
Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to announcements by SCAC members. Any SCAC members have an announcement to make or information they'd like to share? Casey.
Yes, thank you. I do have some information that I'd like to share by way of a question. I don't know how many of us here, because we may reflect the sentiment among the seniors in Orange County, which is now that I have been vaccinated, but I've heard of breakthrough infection, especially in the UK and Israel. What do I do if I come down with it? And what I want to do, what I want to say is that the people have probably heard about monoclonal antibody injections, but I don't think it's widespread information that in Orange County, it is also available free of charge because 500 million doses were purchased by the federal government. And if anybody comes down with it, it's best to, whenever the symptoms begin for senior citizens, during the first 7 days, the earlier the better, to call the urgent care. Of course, your doctor may give it, but it's unlikely. Mostly it's given in the hospitals and urgent care clinics. But most people they're not aware of it. And so it's a very effective way of dealing with it so that we don't have to be afraid. We're kind of, still waiting for the inevitable to happen.
Okay, so, thank you for sharing that.
And so related to that, of course, would be another way to prevent having it, which is the use of ivermectin. And of course, currently it is still controversial, politically speaking. There are forces that don't want to see it used. Of course, there's evidence by reputable physicians, even testifying before the Senate committee of Ron Johnson, that is very effective and also clinically used in many parts of this country. And so one of the things we can ask is whether our physicians, family doctors, would be happy to prescribe it for the senior citizens, for those of us, for those of them that can have a sympathetic physician. But also practically speaking, there's a very easy thing that we all can do, which is like washing hands after coming back from a group meeting or supermarket or wherever there's people gathering, is to use the betadine solution to wash the nasal passages by means of dropping a few drops or sprays, which can be easily obtainable, the spray bottles on Amazon. And then using the betadine solution, which is freely available over the counter at Walmart or any drugstore for under $10 a bottle, it comes at 10% solution, but all we need is 1%. So mix it with 1 to 10 dilution. So 10 parts of water to 1 part of betadine, roughly that. And make enough to use in the nostrils and wait 30 seconds after you spray 5 drops or 5 times, 30 seconds in each nostril, and then gargle for 30 seconds. That kills 100% of the virus. That's what the University of Connecticut is using for their dental staff. And none of them has ever come down with COVID as a result of this preventive measure. So I thought these are information that are very simple and useful. How best to disseminate it? Is it something that the Office of Aging would do? What Erica mentioned about the resource paper or some other means?
Well, I thank you for sharing that information with us. And this is all good information that we can discuss with our doctors. Any information health-wise or advice that comes through the Office on Aging actually comes to the Orange County Healthcare Office or Agency. So it would be coming from them, not through the Office on Aging. But thanks for bringing that up to us, because all of us can now ask our physicians about that. So Gene, I see you have your hand up.
I do, and I want an opportunity to brag. about the Orange County Fire Authority. The Chief Hennessy puts out a monthly newsletter, and he had highlighted two what he called heroes. And I thought this was a pretty cool story, both dealing with seniors. One gentleman was out mowing his lawn, and of course, in this heat and whatnot, a senior, and ended up having a heart attack and went down, called paramedics. The neighbor called paramedics. They were able to get there and transport him to a hospital. But the really cool thing, and he survived, but the really cool thing was that the firefighters themselves finished mowing the lawn, did the trimming, swept up all the grass clippings, and put it away. I mean, man, that's service. And then in the other incident, a senior female, while cooking breakfast, tripped and fell down and couldn't get back up. She had one of those devices, was able to call the paramedics, and they got her up, dusted her off, sat her down, and they finished making breakfast for her. And I thought, you know what? You need to hear more of those kinds of stories, because we just don't hear it enough that, you know, first responders, public safety, they're really there to provide above and beyond what I call wow service. And that was wow service. Anyway, thank you for letting me brag.
That is good. That is definitely something to brag about. Thanks for sharing those good stories with us. Okay, any other announcements by SCAC members before we adjourn? Patty?
Oh, gosh.
Patty, did you have an announcement?
I do. I'm sorry. I'm not very good at doing Zoom by phones. Apologize. Just want to let you know that the plans for the Turning Silver into Gold conference continue. The RSVPs are very brisk. I will send it out around. Now, to whom should I send an announcement to be circulated? To SCAC and the committees? Is there a point person at the county that I send that to?
Well, if you're sending out, you have the roster, you can send out announcements. Okay. You're able to do that.
Okay. So folks can look for an announcement. If you haven't registered, please consider, because it's going to be a really robust program on vibrant aging, on how to re-engage post-COVID, how to build up one's social life and romantic life. We'll have an art program from Amy Owl and a marvelous, marvelous presentation from the Emeritus Institute. So it will be a really great day. It's free. You can attend virtually. And it really does tie in to one of the bold goals of the Master Plan for Aging. And part of the initiatives includes reducing social isolation and loneliness. So September 24th is that date. And then you'll hear more about the November 5th Mastering the Master Plan event. That is shaping up beautifully. We have 8 sitting elected officials who have agreed to be part of the town hall. And we're hoping to have great participation from our Board of Supervisors. And then lastly, September 21st is World Alzheimer's Day. We will have a special presentation in partnership with the Anaheim Public Library, and people can attend either in person or virtually via Zoom. So watch for Facebook posts, and I'll send that announcement around to the group as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. Lots of good information. Okay. Any more announcements before we close our meeting? Okay. Seeing none, we have our next SCAC meeting is October 8th, and the speaker will talk about earthquake preparedness. We have some upcoming standing committee meetings on September 15th is well-being reimagined. I've got to train myself as well to remember the new name. And then on September 20th is Senior Citizens Engagement Committee, and October 14th, housing and transportation. Before we close, I'd like to again welcome Desiree Gonzalez to our support staff team. And just members recognize Desiree's name. You may be getting some emails from her. And then also, I'm sure our secretary, Elizabeth Busick, may appreciate some get well cards if anyone would like to send to her. And I know she would definitely appreciate getting your hours, your monthly hour sheet too. So you can put that in the get well card when you mail it to her. So
You know, Elaine, one more real quick thing. You just reminded me, you said get well. Have you been in contact with Phil Orlin?
No, I haven't heard anything from him within the last.
Okay, he called me last night. And
oh, he hasn't. He didn't contact me.
Yeah, he needs a leave of absence. He's in.
Okay.
I've never heard the term palliative care. Are you familiar with that term?
We can talk about that after the meeting on how okay. we can address right. that. But thanks for letting me know.
Well, let's get a good well card to him.
So this meeting we are adjourning in memory of Yvonne Mitchell. Yvonne is a retired longtime SCAC member. She was a member of SCAC for 16 years. That's a long time, from 1999 to 2015. And when I spoke to her daughter said, you know, in her final days, her mom felt, you know, that she had a very enriching life, that she felt she made a difference and made a contribution. And I think that's something we all hope we do. So we're adjourning this memory in memory of Yvonne Mitchell, and a certificate will be sent to her family. And with that, have a good month, and I will see you in between. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.